The only distraction about this are all the fallacies in it. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst, and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
You know, Barry, sometimes when we look for things to discuss on the air so we can talk about a biblical way of looking at things, some things come right out and just smack you right in the face.
Yes, and oftentimes I walk around with big red marks on the side of my face from where that happens, yes.
This one is definitely a double take, double smack, because it's so bad that, but seeing as who it comes from, and I'll let you get into all that, but seeing who it comes from, I'm familiar with this person's work, and it really isn't a real shock that something this bad would come out of her.
No, it's not. And ladies and gentlemen, who we're talking about is syndicated columnist Roma. I'm not sure how she got her name or what her ethnic background is, Chuck, but Roma Harrop, who is a fairly well-known columnist, printed in a number of papers around the country, decided that she was going to weigh in on using the issue with Missouri Congressman and Senate candidate Todd Akin's gaffe on comments on the abortion issue, to launch her own Jeremiad, I guess, or Jeremiad, depending on how you want to pronounce it, against conservatives. Well, that's not a surprise coming from Roma Harrop, but the article that she penned is so full of logical fallacies, I mean, including a huge glaring one, that I'm amazed. I'm just wondering, Chuck, most of our major newspapers in the country, are there no editors anymore? Are there no checkers? Or do they just, since they've got somebody on string from one of the syndicated systems, that they just go ahead and publish whatever they throw out there without bothering to check it?
I'm going to be quite honest. I think editing is a dead art.
You might be right, because whoever was supposed to be editing Roma Harrop really was asleep at the switch on this. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a column that she penned on August the 25th, and I have it from the Sun Journal, which is basically a small newspaper in Maine, and you can find it in different newspapers around the country. You could Google up Roma Harrop and abortion, and it pops right up. But she penned this article called Rape/Abortion Issue, A Distraction for Conservatives. And he basically is saying that this whole situation with Todd Akin is kind of just the icing on the cake, because what she's really pointing at is the Republican Party platform, and just is shocked, I tell you, that the actual platform of the Republican Party, the RNC's platform, is that abortion should be banned without exception, which, Chuck, you and I would call that a 100% pro-life plank in a platform. We were in a third party that actually had that plank in there at one time, and I say at one time, but it'd be amazing if, honestly, through the convention, if this is actually what we find, is that stays intact like that.
Oh, well, it won't, because you're the leader of the party and his chosen cohort have both come out, although Ryan in the past has come out in favor of personhood, which means it's 100% no exceptions position, which means that life begins at conception, and that person is a person from the moment of conception. And he has gone over to a rape and incest exception position. And that's basically the lineup with Romney. I'm sure that was part of the price of being chosen to run as vice president. Let me tell you, the office of vice president is not worth selling out your principles for. So we have to ask how closely Paul Ryan actually held on to that principle.
It would be interesting to take a look at that and figure that out. But Harrop, she's wringing her hands in this column over the fact that, well, people, that when Todd Akin said this, his grasp of reproductive science was shockingly lacking, she said. And basically, she says this, his stance, which she now claims is also in the Republican Party platform, is a stance, quote, that most Americans, including most registered Republicans, disagree with and probably didn't know was an official party position. Now they do. Well, you know, she's patting herself on the back, Chuck. She's unveiled something that nobody knew. So kudos for Roma, I suppose, on that. But the point is, that's her first, I think, major logical fallacy, and is that most Americans disagree with the idea that abortion should be legal. I believe when you start looking at the polling data that's out there and has been steadily increasing over the last few years, we now in America are a majority pro-life country. I think it's like in the mid-50s somewhere that folks are polled that say that they believe in pro-life. So, and again, then we get into the nuances of what does pro-life really mean? Does it mean rape and incest exceptions? Does it mean fetal abnormality selection? Does it mean life of the mother type scenario selections? Or does it mean, as she claims Todd Akin meant, that was abortion should be banned with no exception for rape?
Okay. This thing is so laden with fallacies, it's hard to know where to begin. And you've brought an important one up. I'm going to bring up another one, and I'm going to take it right out of her. First of all, she tries to make what Akin said. She comes up with a quote which proves that although she thinks that Akin is a biological nincompoop, she proves that she is a biological nincompoop. There's at least two places where that happens. First of all, here's a quote, and she keys off this, the legitimate rape thing, and we talked about that. That was a stupid thing to say. It was a misspeak. It was kind of dumb to say, and he really needed to walk that back, which he did. Let's get into what she says, though. While the U.S. senatorial candidate's grasp of reproductive science is shockingly lacking, he said real rape victims rarely get pregnant. His position that abortions be banned with no exception for rape happens to be in the new Republican Party platform. Okay, you brought that up. What's wrong with this statement? Can you see it right off the top of your head when you look at it?
Oh, well, I can, yes. I'm not sure that our listeners may be able to do that. We're training people on how to dissect these fallacies, but it takes some time.
Actually, rape victims getting pregnant is exceedingly rare.
That's right.
It's a very rare event. It does happen. Let's not kid ourselves, and it's a real possibility. But she has made it look like what he said was stupid. Well, it's not stupid. It is a rare event. Now, what do you want to call rare? How many thousand abortions are we doing a year? And Bill Clinton called that rare. We've done, what, 50 million since 1973?
That's right.
It's a lot of them, and that is not rare. There are a heck of a lot fewer pregnancies by rape than that number. So, rare by what measuring stick? Well, it's certainly far rarer than abortion. Let's go to another piece of nincompoopery. Here's what she says, what her position on abortion is. I believe that abortion should be easy to obtain early in a pregnancy and progressively harder to get as time goes on. Okay, why? There's no reasoning here, Barry.
Yes,
why?
But Chuck, what she's really saying underneath all that, because it sounds like she's getting tough on abortion, is she still wants it legal for all 9 months of a pregnancy.
She
just wants it to be a little tougher to get a hold of one, but she still wants to keep it legal. She didn't say anything about outlawing it. She just said make it progressively more difficult to obtain.
Well, I'm going to go with a little bit of an obscure math reference here. Those of us who know something about what they call an asymptote in math, when you draw a graph and you have a line that approaches an asymptote, mathematically, theoretically, the two lines never actually meet, but realistically, because of the concept of the limit, they actually do meet. Now, what she's saying is she wants the legality of abortion to continue on in perpetuity till live birth. Okay, that's an interesting position. She offers absolutely no proof of her position whatsoever. She offers no argument in favor of it. She simply says, this is what I think. Now, let's go on. The issue isn't when life begins, but when personhood begins. Bingo. She's absolutely correct. Now, let's go to a presuppositional approach. When does personhood begin?
At the moment of conception.
At the moment of conception. And in fact, we know that from, for instance, the book of Psalms, when David wrote that you knit me together you in my mother's womb. And he also says, you knew me before the foundations of the earth. In other words, God made the decision that that person would be a person, and that person became that person at the moment of conception. And who's in the driver's seat on conception? It's not on autopilot. God is the giver and taker of life. So God is in control of when a conception occurs. Okay, this is one of those places where she would say, well, that has no bearing on anything. That's simply a religious view. Yes, it is. I agree with you, but it has everything to do with it. not nothing to do with it. Why is my position based on both a theological and a biological view, which I'll get to in a minute, any less valuable or inferior to her position, in which she gives no reasoning whatsoever? I have at least provided a reason. I have an omniscient and omnipotent God who told me that life begins at conception. Now, as a person trained in biology, I also know that life begins at conception, but Ms. Harrop denies this. Let's go to the next section. If you believe that the cell cluster created when a sperm fertilizes an egg is a full human being, then it shouldn't matter whether it was made through marital love or a violent crime. So holding that rape victims shouldn't be forced to have the child of their tormentors is a cop-out. Yes, she's correct. She's absolutely correct here. It is a cop-out.
It is.
And she's right. I do believe that a cluster of cells is a human being. She also makes the rather silly statement, the issue isn't when life begins, but when personhood begins. Okay, let's go there. Sperm, unfertilized eggs, and fingernails are all life and human. Barry, is that true biologically?
No, I don't believe it for the case of fingernails. Unless they're still attached to the person, they're not.
Unfertilized eggs and sperm are also not life.
Yeah, that's right.
They are not. What they are is seed.
That's correct.
That because an egg, except in one case that we know of, an egg cannot grow simply on its own without sperm to meet it. Each one of those contains half of your genetic makeup.
Absolutely. 23 of the 46 is in each one.
23 singlets, not 23 pairs. 23 pairs are required to make a human being.
Right.
Now, as for a fingernail, is a fingernail life? No. Fingernail is protein. Protein that's created out of a special set of cells that are connected in certain places on your hands and feet. Okay, what does that mean? Is that life? No, it is not. Now, if you were to take my hand and cut it off, is that hand life?
By itself, detached from your body? No.
Yeah. No, of course not. It's a hand that used to be attached to a life, and now my life goes on. My hand does not become a separate life.
Also, it's not like those old horror movies when the hand by itself goes creeping around grabbing people by the neck.
One of my favorite movies, yeah, the piano player who has a hand transplant, right?
Right, exactly.
I've seen several people use that joke, and everyone, it always goes over people's heads, and I'm like, obviously you've never seen the hand.
That's it. But the point is, it's obvious that Froma Harrop has never seen the inside of a biology textbook either.
I would be willing to bet that she's had plenty of biology training, but she has kidded herself that she understands the issues and she does not. Now, Froma Harrop, I don't know, Froma Harrop's about 62 years old, and she may be a little behind the times on biology, but even when she was taking biology, it wasn't this backward. People knew that fingernails weren't life, that sperm and egg by themselves are not life. Yes, they have biological function. Obviously, they are, you know, if you scrape a cell off my finger or off the inside of my cheek, you can get DNA out of it, but is it life? It is not. At the time it becomes detached, it's simply a detached cell. We do not live in the age of Brave New World or one of the other utopian novels where people are simply cloned from a single somatic cell. Right now, you know, what we call cloning is done with sperm and egg cells. It's not done with what we call somatic cells, which are cells from anywhere on your body except seed cells, or sex cells, if you will. You can only do cloning basically by taking an egg, cleaning out the nuclear material, and replacing it with other nuclear material, which has already got 46, 23 pairs of chromosomes in it. Okay. I realize this is a little advanced, but the fact is that Froma Harrop has basically proved that she is willing. And she may know this, Barry, and this is what really disturbs me about this article. And honestly, we're running short on time, and I apologize for that. In fact, let's pick this up tomorrow, because I want to talk about why she's incorrect.
Well,
is that all right?
Well, certainly. There's plenty to talk about, because, again, Froma Harrop makes numerous logical fallacies part of her, what she would call, facts in her article. And I think this is a great lesson for our listeners in detecting these fallacies and being able to point them out to others.
Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.